Welcome to another deep dive today. We're going to be looking at a pretty important case, Brown v. Superior Court. This case really kind of changed the way we think about holding drug companies responsible when their products end up causing harm.
Yeah, this is a major case, especially for anyone who's interested in product liability. You know, Brown v. Superior Court goes straight to the heart of this like really big question. How do we balance holding these drug companies accountable, but then also make sure we're encouraging the development of new medicines, you know, medicines that could save lives?
Yeah, it's such a tough balance to strike. So in this case, what was it that made it such a turning point in figuring that out?
Well, at the center of it all, you have this drug DES.
Yeah.
And doctors were prescribing it to pregnant women to stop them from having miscarriages. But then years later, it turns out that DES had some really bad long-term side effects for the children of the women who took it. And to make things even more complicated, tons of companies were making DES, and they were all using the same formula.
So all these people were harmed, and there's all these companies that might be responsible.
Mm.
But it sounds like it would be super hard to actually prove which company caused what harm.
Exactly. And it gets even trickier because in this case, the kids of the women who took DES, they sued the drug companies using a bunch of different legal arguments. They were trying to find some way to get justice.
And one of those legal arguments was strict liability.
Right, right. But here's where things get interesting. The California Supreme Court, they said that strict liability for design defects doesn't apply to prescription drugs.
Really? So even if a drug has a design flaw that hurts people, the company that made it isn't automatically responsible. That doesn't seem to make sense. Like, doesn't that go against the whole point of product liability?
It might seem that way. But the court had a specific reason for deciding this. They were worried that if they held drug companies totally responsible for design flaws, it would scare companies away from making new drugs. It's that balancing act we were talking about before. They didn't want to stop companies from developing new medicines, even ones that could save lives, because those companies are too afraid of getting sued.
Okay, I see what they're saying. But it still seems unfair to the people who got hurt because of the way a drug was designed.
It definitely is. And the court knew this was a touchy subject. But they said there are other ways to keep consumers safe. For example, they said the FDA has this really tough process for approving drugs, which is supposed to make sure the drugs are safe and effective before anyone can sell them.
So basically, they were saying part of the responsibility for making sure the drugs are safe is on the FDA.
Kinda.
Yeah.
And they also talked about another important legal idea, the learned intermediary doctrine. This focuses on the role of doctors as informed intermediaries between the drug companies and the people who take the drugs. It kind of protects the companies from some lawsuits because it says it's the doctor's job to tell patients about the risks and benefits of the medicines they're prescribing.
That makes sense. So what about the argument that drug companies should still be responsible if they know about a problem with the design and they don't warn anyone?
The court talked about that too. They said that while strict liability for design problems isn't going to happen, drug companies are still totally on the hook if they mess up making the drug. Like if they don't follow the directions or if they know about a risk and don't tell doctors or patients about it. So it's not like they get away with everything.
So they're saying no strict liability for design issues, but definitely liable for problems with how the drug was made or if they don't warn people.
Exactly. And that's where this thing called comment tent comes in. It basically says for some products like prescription drugs, strict liability for design problems shouldn't apply because these things have risks, but also benefits.
Okay. So comment T gives them a reason to say that a whole category of products, prescription drugs, don't have to follow this strict liability rule. Seems like they wanted to make a clear rule instead of figuring it out case by case.
That's a sharp observation, and that's one of the most controversial parts of Brown Penn. Some legal experts say that comment tag should only be used for specific cases, looking at the risks and benefits of each drug instead of just saying all drugs are exempt. But in California, because of Brown v. Superior Court, it's a blanket exemption.
Wow, that's a big deal. So we've talked about strict liability, but what are some of the other legal arguments the people suing the drug companies tried to use?
Welcome back. So we're still digging into Brown v. Superior Court.
Yeah, and we've already covered so much about this really important case and what it means for holding drug companies responsible.
Definitely. We've talked about a lot, but there's more to explore. Like, remember, the plaintiffs in this case, they were really determined to find a way to win. So they use a whole bunch of different arguments.
Yeah, one of those arguments was this thing called market share liability.
Right.
And that one always seemed interesting to me.
It is. And they tried to use it based on another case, Sindel v. Abbott Laboratories. It's a really interesting concept because it tries to solve the problem of not knowing which specific company actually caused the harm.
Well, I remember reading about that. So in this case, because there were so many companies making DES and they were all using the same formula, the people suing argued that the company should be responsible based on how much of the market they had at the time.
Yeah, exactly. It was like they were saying, look, we can't prove which company made the exact DES our moms took, but we know it was one of these companies, so they should all be responsible based on how much DES each of them sold.
That makes sense. If you can't prove exactly who did it, maybe this is a way to still hold them accountable.
You'd think so. Right. But the California Supreme Court didn't agree with that. They totally rejected that argument.
Why wouldn't that work in this case? I'm really curious about how they explained it.
Well, basically, they said market share liability might work sometimes, but it doesn't apply to the specific things the plaintiffs were saying the companies did wrong. They were saying the companies broke a promise breach of warranty and that they lied fraud. And those types of claims mean you have to prove a direct connection between the person suing and the company they're suing. You have to show that a specific company did something to a specific person.
Oh, okay. So market share liability is for when you can't prove who caused the harm. But for breach of warranty or fraud, you need to show that a specific company did something wrong to a specific person.
You got it. And since the plaintiffs couldn't prove which company actually made the DES, their mothers took, they couldn't prove that direct link they needed for those claims.
So that option was out for them.
Totally. And it just shows how hard it is to win these types of cases, especially when it comes to drugs that a bunch of different companies were making.
It seems like they were facing an uphill battle, for sure. But going back to what we were talking about before, about holding companies responsible for making the drug wrong or not warning people.
Oh, yeah. The court was super clear that those options are still there. If a company messes up making a drug, or if they know about a risk and don't tell doctors or patients, they can definitely get in trouble.
So at least there's some accountability there?
Mm-hmm.
But you were talking about the FDA and their job in making sure drugs are safe. How important was that to the court's decision?
It was really important. They kept saying that the FDA has this really tough process for approving drugs, and that's a major way to protect consumers. It's supposed to keep dangerous or useless drugs from ever being sold.
So they were thinking that if a drug gets approved by the FDA, it's probably safe enough to be sold, even if there might be some risks that no one knows about yet.
Exactly. Like, they were putting some of the responsibility for keeping people safe on the FDA. And remember the learned intermediary doctrine we talked about? That's part of it, too. The court said doctors have to know the risks and benefits of the drugs they're prescribing, and they have to explain those to their patients.
Wow. That's a lot of responsibility for doctors. Mm-hmm. But I guess they're the ones who are deciding whether a patient should take a specific drug.
For sure. They're the ones who make the final call about whether a drug is right for a specific patient. And in the Brown case, the court really believed that doctors would make good decisions and tell their patients about any possible risks.
So it sounds like the court was trying to find a balance between protecting consumers and not making it too hard for drug companies to develop new drugs. But by focusing so much on the FDA and the learned intermediary doctrine, didn't they kind of make it easier for drug companies to get away with things?
That's one of the big criticisms of the Brown decision. Some people say that it went too far in protecting drug companies, and that makes it harder for people who were hurt by a drug to actually get justice.
So we have these two sides, the need to protect consumers and let them sue if they've been hurt by a product, but then also the need to encourage innovation so drug companies can develop new treatments that could save lives.
You nailed it. And the Brown v. Superior Court case really brings that conflict to the surface. It's a complicated issue with good arguments on both sides.
Yeah, it really makes you think. This case shows just how tough it is to figure out these legal and ethical questions. Okay, so we spent this whole time talking about Brown v. Superior Court, mm-hmm. this case that really changed the way we think about responsibility when it comes to drugs.
Yeah, it's been a really interesting discussion. We've gotten into the details of the case, the arguments people made, and why the court made the decision they did.
And as we wrap things up, I think it's important to take a step back and think about the bigger picture. Brown isn't just some case in a law book. It's part of this bigger conversation about new discoveries keeping people safe and how law tries to make sure those things can both happen.
Absolutely. Brown v. Superior Court really got people talking in the legal world. There was so much debate, and it set a precedent that has really affected how we think about product liability, especially when it comes to drugs.
You mentioned precedent. What are some of the long-term effects of this decision? Has it actually done what the court hoped it would and made the drug industry come up with more new drugs?
That's a tough question, and there's no easy answer. Some experts say that Brown did lead to a more innovative drug industry, which has resulted in some amazing new treatments and medications that have helped so many people. They say, look at how many new drugs have been developed since Brown.
So from that point of view, the court's decision to protect drug companies from being strictly liable for design defects, even though it's controversial, might have actually helped medicine move forward.
That's what they say. But there's another side to this story. People who don't like the Brown decision say it made it way harder for patients who were hurt by a drug to get justice and hold those companies responsible. They say the court gave too much power to the drug industry, and that leaves people who take those drugs more vulnerable.
So it sounds like there's no agreement on whether the good things about more innovation are worth the bad things about making it harder to sue companies when their drugs cause harm.
You got it. That's the core issue here. And it goes back to that big question we've been talking about this whole time. How do we find the right balance between encouraging new discoveries and making sure people are safe? Brown v. Superior Court didn't solve that problem, but it definitely made us face it.
And that's still something we have to think about today, especially with all the new drugs and medical technology being developed.
For sure. Just think about how fast things are changing with things like gene editing, personalized medicine, and using AI in healthcare. These are huge changes that could be amazing, but they also bring up new questions about risks, responsibility, and how to keep patients safe.
It really makes you wonder how the ideas from Brown v. Superior Court might apply to these new areas of medicine.
It's a really interesting question, and it's one that legal experts and people who make policies are trying to figure out right now. As technology changes and we have new medical discoveries, we're going to have to keep talking about how to encourage progress, but also make sure patients are protected from harm.
So this conversation is far from over. And Brown v. Superior Court reminds us that court decisions aren't just words on paper. They have real effects on the world, and they often show us what's important to society and the struggles we're facing. It's a case that people are still debating, and it's still shaping how we understand responsibility when it comes to drugs.
That's a great way to put it. And to everyone listening, keep thinking about these issues, keep talking about them, and let's figure out how to create a system that helps medical innovation happen, but also make sure patients are safe and healthy.
Thanks so much for walking us through this complicated and interesting case. It's been really eye-opening. And to our listeners, we hope this deep dive helps you understand Brown v. Superior Court better, how it's still important today, and the challenge of finding the right balance between innovation and safety when it comes to the world of pharmaceuticals.